Swing and a drive.
Welcome to Red, White, and Blue Jays, the podcast home of Blue Jays Fans UK, a group connecting Blue Jays fans around the UK and beyond and telling their stories. And now, here's the host of Red, White, and Blue Jays, Steve Hunter.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Red, White, and Blue Jays. It's episode 46, and I'm thrilled to have a good friend, Scotty Carson from Sportsnet, back with us for the third time he's been on the podcast. I love chatting to Scotty and getting all his insights. So, Scott, how are you doing? Welcome again to the UK. Good to see you.
Yep, doing great. Fresh off last night's win. Another injury, though. I mean, we hope that Ryu's not hurt badly. It seemed to be, he'll be okay. Plus, we're on a six-man rotation right now, so he'll have an extra day to get ready for his next start. Haven't heard definitively what happened, but we saw what happened, and, it's like, oh, goodness, because now we're starting to get injuries mounting a little bit here after the first part of the year. There was very little of that, but, Bo's out until we see him again. He's not with the team right now. He's rehabbing, I guess, back in Toronto. Kiermaier, we have to wait to see what happened to him, because apparently he couldn't bend his arm yesterday because of the stitches in it. I mean, great catch, but came at a cost. And now Ryu. So let's hope that this is, things usually happen in three. So let's hope that that's it for the injury bug.
Yeah. I mean, it has been a bit of a run of it, certainly. Now, just before we get going and really looking at the Jays in detail, I know you're in Cleveland because obviously that's where the games are. It looks like you're sitting in the wardrobe of the hotel that you're staying in. Where exactly are you at the moment?
Well, actually, I was very lucky when I checked in. This is the living room of my suite. The bedroom's next door here. So, it's not a great backdrop like I can give you when I'm at home with all the stuff on the walls. But this was the brightest part of the room. So,
amazing.
It does look like I'm in some type of a closet.
Well, it's great to always talk to you, and I really appreciate the fact that you've managed to carve out a bit of time while you're out on the road for us, which is brilliant. And just at this point, also just to publicly say thank you so much for my Chappie shirt, which you very kindly sent to me, and I am wearing with great pride. It's always already gone to a Blue Jays party that we've held locally here. So
nice.
So being well used. So thank you for that, sir. When I spoke to you, we talked about this would be quite cool to talk about the trade deadline, but that seems to have been slightly overtaken by a Mr. Schneider's performance. And I'd love to perhaps let's just look at him first before we talk about the trade deadline. It was an extraordinary series at the Red Sox for him. What can you give us? I mean, I was just sort of doing a few notes before we came on today, just looking at his sort of backdrop. So 28th pick in 2017, was only playing at AA right up until 2022, went up to the Bisons in this season, and now obviously has come through all the way through to the Jays. Had you got him on your radar? Was he somebody that you were particularly aware of prior to, being called up?
Well, I remember seeing him a little bit in spring training when, invariably they have to bring over so many people from the minor league complex to finish games off. So I knew the name. I didn't have any recollection of anything great that he did during his brief spring training participation. But our play-by-play man, Dan Schulman, had been talking him up for close to a month that he was hoping, because, just looking at the pure numbers, he had great number. I mean, 21 home runs at AAA, and on a team that, for whatever strange reason this year, only hits home runs in spurts, it seems, with all the great power on this lineup. So to inject him into that first game in Boston, which was great, because Merrifield homers on the first pitch, Vladdy homers later in the inning, and then the next inning, MLB debut of Davis Schneider, and he went really deep, you know, hit the one of the signs up there and was like, whoa, because I mean he's only 5'9". He's a little guy, you know, in what has become a big man's game, it seems. And so that was kind of shocking. And then, you know, two hits in the first game, three in the second game, and then that four hits in the third game, which then put him on par with someone by the name of Coker Triplett back in 1938. You know, that was like if had a lot of people ask me and say, did you make that name up just to make it cool? And I go, no, I hadn't even heard of the guy. And then when researching, it was like, wow, who is this? And the funny part is Coker Triplett also played with the Buffalo Bisons at the end of his career. So that's, wow. I mean, that's full circle then, right? So yeah, he's an interesting player. He looks like he's got pretty good skill set. Played in left field last night. Mm-hmm. Didn't look out of place. Looks okay at second base. So yeah, you know, after the stench of the Baltimore series where, you know, they got run over, let's not candy coat this. To go into Boston and sweep there after being 0 for 7 versus the Red Sox to start the season, that seemed to right the ship. They started to hit again. The pitching's been outstanding, especially the bullpen, which is now a deeper pen and was able to withstand the loss of Romano. Very good. Last night was a strange night because, well, first of all, hat tip to Cleveland starter Gavin Williams. I mean,
yeah, he was.
He brought the cheese yesterday. You know, 12 strikeouts, most by an Indians pitcher. Or Indians, my God, Guardians pitcher. I just really showed my age there. 12 strikeouts, most by a Cleveland pitcher this season. He was very impressive. But the bats went cold again last night. And if Kevin Biggio hadn't had that big hit, we might have lost that game last night. So it was an odd game. Schneider didn't. He was 0 for 4 yesterday. Well, that's the way it goes. But, yeah, it's an interesting time now with some new interesting characters too, including, you know, the guys that they brought in from St. Louis. So
yeah,
let's keep this rolling here, you know, because we're going to start getting some tough games again, like this coming weekend against a very hot Cubs team will be very interesting to see where we sit now.
Yeah. So with your particular role at Sportsnet in terms of doing a lot of the stats and stuff, When a Schneider comes along, at what point does your little mind start ticking and thinking, hold on, this is quite unique what he's doing here for his first appearance in the MLB? Obviously, you know, home run, you know, his first at bat, and then as the games rolled on through Red Sox, at what point are you starting to, oh, I need to really start pulling back the data in terms of,
oh yeah,
you know, going back.
It all started when he hit that home run in his first at-bat. Then the mind starts to click, and then you're looking up home runs by Blue Jays in their MLB debut, and we got that pretty quickly. Then he gets a second hit, so multiple hits in his debut, and that put him on a list of 20 different players. And what was interesting to me was the original name on that list from 1977 was a second baseman by the name of Steve Staggs. Didn't play played with us for the 1 year, played a little bit with Oakland, but he was just one of those guys. But what made it interesting was he was a 5'9" second baseman, just like Schneider. And I went, oh, that is interesting. And had a mustache, which as we saw last night, there's already Schneider mustache t-shirts popping up. Yeah, you know, go get them, entrepreneurs. And so, this is going to, it was fluidly in progress from game one, two to three, and then you start getting into numbers, and you know, and then it's like, okay, most hits in the first three games, and there was only one name on the list. And then when he got the hit off the Red Sox shortstop in the ninth inning to make it nine, it was like, okay, good, this is good news. And we were able to get that on the air fairly quickly, you know, because there's a lot of moving parts on that one, just because it you were seeing something that rarely happens. I mean, it you know, it was the unicorn of stats here. So, yeah, it was good. We were on it. And then when we found out that Coker Triplett, who he tied, had played for the Bisons 75 years prior, that was a nice little bow on the whole story.
It was amazing. It was great to see. And I think on the back of particularly the Orioles series, but, you know, some of the performances the Jays have been so disappointing. But to see them, you know, win, particularly on that third game, so convincingly, and to have the Schneider story all wrapped up in there and his family there, and the guy who caught the first home run up on the monster, getting all his goodies for a trade there. It was just a brilliant weekend of Blue Jays baseball. And also, what we mustn't forget is the first time they've, of course, beaten the Red Sox this season. And that was really important in terms of where the standings are. Yeah, fantastic to say.
When we pulled into Boston, they had closed within 2.5 games. So to smack them back by 3 games, just to give a little breathing space, that was great. The only problem now is the Mariners are getting hot, our nemesis from last year, and they're right in behind the Jays again. So, hey, look, Jays are not – if – they want to make the wild card round, they cannot have any like 10 game stretches where they go like 4-6, 3-7. They have to be on the positive side of every 10 games. So, because there's teams clicking at their heels now. And luckily they righted the Baltimore ship, because that was, wow. I mean, that was the first I'd seen Baltimore play this year, and they were very impressive, and I thought this team's going to be a real handful right through this, and probably for 2, 3, 4 more years after that. So I mean, they play the game right, and they hustle. Like every play they hustle, they bust it out of the booth every time they put a bat on ball. And yeah, they're going to be a real handful. I could see them playing Houston for, you know, the right to go to the World Series. Not that I don't think, you know, the Jays can do it here, but they're going to have to make a sustained run here of solid baseball. And if they can do that, they'll be right in the mix. But, yeah, Baltimore really showed all of us what they were about. And so I wouldn't want to face them. You know, young teams, playing for, you know, no pressure, because they weren't expected to be there. That's a great way to be.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, because obviously with the way that Tampa Bay started the season and were so strong and had that enormous lead for a long period of time, and slowly Baltimore have, you know, pegged them back and now are in the lead themselves. Which is more of a surprise to you, the fact that Tampa Bay have fallen away or that Baltimore have pushed forward?
Well, I thought originally that Tampa Bay had a kind of a weakish schedule to start the year, and they took advantage of that. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're still a very good team who makes you get all 27 outs on them. They're just one of those teams. Baltimore, I mean, we saw it a little bit at the end of last year that they had some young, talented guys, Rutschman, Henderson. Like, these guys are going to be great pros, and they got Jackson Holliday on his way like a rocket up through their minors. I mean, we might see him this year. I guess we really don't know, but, you know, he's like 19 years old, and they say he's already got major league skills. So Yeah, I think to answer your question, I think it was more surprised by Baltimore because we didn't see this really coming than I was the Rays, who I thought were overachieving at the start. And I think they've settled into their spot now. And hopefully the Jays can reel in one of those two teams, because that would completely change the, you know, the playoff outlook. Because as it is right now, Blue Jays would go to Minnesota, who is the has the third best record of the division winners. So that's a path of least resistance, at least, because if you're on the other side, then you're pointing right at Houston or Baltimore or Tampa. So we'll see. Still a bunch of games to go, and a lot can happen, especially as we've seen injuries that we already talked about.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of baseball, isn't it? That the scene can change so quickly, I think, compared to, you know, to typical British sports that we watch, because of so many games, you know, it is evolving all the time. So what was seven games back on Baltimore, four back on Tampa Bay, definitely feel that we can push forward if we can just get that run going. And what, four in a row at the moment. Last night was a really big win. As you mentioned a little bit earlier, Kevin Biggio had a game, not only with the bat, but also some extraordinary fielding towards the end there, getting that double play.
Everybody cheers for him because, you know, something, he came up as part of the core three, as they were known as. They all came up at the same time, basically. And he's fallen away, but I mean, his at bats are now going to Whit Merrifield, who is now an everyday player, all-star. And hey, that's just the way this game goes. And so it was good to see Kevin be a big part of last night's win. I mean, that has to make him sky high right now, which is good, because we're going to need guys like him and Espinal to chip in now and then, not all the time, but every now and then. And last night was now, and it was great. I mean, that was that double play that he made. I was thinking, I can't ever remember a ground ball for unassisted double play. So good for him. Still has a good skill set. It's just, it might be a case of that he's going to get his next great shot elsewhere, unfortunately. But I mean, he wouldn't be the first, wouldn't be the last. So let's take what happened last night, do it a little more often, and that'll help this team roll.
Yeah. He has been a great utility player for us, but has obviously just been a bit behind where Vladdy and Bo have been in terms of the three of them coming up. Yep. And I think probably as we sort of just look at the trade deadline, I think there was probably some commentary in terms of whether we thought Biggio might be one of the pieces to be traded. SB seemed to be sort of mentioned as well. The trade deadline for me felt a little bit underwhelming. But maybe that's because they all knew Schneider was coming up, and that's a different story. What was your take on the Blue Jays and how they performed at the trade deadline?
Underwhelmed as well. I was expecting to get a big bat, a big right-handed bat, you know, and there had been rumors about Teoscar Hernandez, and I thought, I'm not sure that that's a fit right now. But, I mean, everybody liked him when he was here, and I thought they might have got another starting pitching, which would have just been right into the mix of all of a sudden we have too much starting pitching, if you can actually have that. But getting Aaron Hicks with Romano down was very good. Didn't really cost them much. The two prospects, even if they made it to the majors, are probably long men in the bullpen, or you know, back end of the rotation kind of guy. So I mean, didn't have to give up much. When Bo went down, you had to bring in a shortstop that can play every day. Paul DeYoung's that guy. Haven't really seen him hit much, but he's steady in the field, so that's good. And we'd already got, it seems like we're only trading with the Cardinals right now. But I mean, The of the three guys that they've added to the roster, I'm okay with those guys. Hicks last night, I wish he'd throw his fastball a little more than the the hard slider, because he was having trouble hitting the glove last night. But and if you throw 103, you should just be like rearing back, and if they hit it, then you tip your cap to them and you move on. So I'd like to see him, that's a power arm that we have never seen. So I mean, it's very interesting every time that he comes into the game. But the trade deadline, you're spot on. It was underwhelming, but they did add pieces, just not who we thought that they were going to add. But unfortunately, needed a shortstop, and so we got one. And this is a roster now, so let's go.
Yeah, I was just thinking in terms of De Jong's trade, in terms of where Bo will be when he comes back from injury. We obviously have SB, who could have played at shortstop, and I'm sort of just trying to work out, okay, so I can understand why they filled some of these gaps because of the injuries, but what happens once we get our main guys back into the roster? Where does somebody like De Jong sit? Will he feature much, or does that mean it's curtains really for Espinal's time at the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I would think that when Bo comes back, now I would think because of his knee injury that he might do a little more DHing than playing in the field. So Paul DeJong will, he's hitting ninth and he'll be a solid in the field. So, it's going to knock everybody down one peg, and that probably is Espinal, which not sure about his situation, whether he has options. I'd have to look that up. So we'll see what happens when it happens. It's not a bad problem when you have too many players, but Bo coming back might actually strengthen the bench as people get knocked down a peg or two. So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just talk about starting pitching. So we've had some really good performances from some guys. Others have struggled. I think, my reflection of the team generally over the season so far has been that we've had moments where the pitching has been brilliant and the bats have struggled, and then vice versa. We've had a few games where we seem to have got some hits and then pitching has struggled. Has the starting rotation played out as you anticipated? Obviously the Manoah situation was completely off the record in terms of anybody anticipating what's happened there. His return into the team, how do you feel that's going? Do you feel he came back too quickly? Do you feel it was the right move at that time?
I thought his return, which he'd only pitched in one game in the complex league, and then all of a sudden he's at Double A, and before he turned around, he showed up in Detroit. Now, I wasn't at the Detroit game; I was at a wedding, but I remember that from what I saw watching Jays in 30, which is always my favorite way to get, kind of a capsule look at the game. I didn't think there was anything new there. He was still missing on certain pitches that he needs to look like strikes that weren't looking like strikes. So nobody was swinging at them. Fast forward now to his last start in Boston. I thought he was, it's not the 2022 version, but as close as we've seen so far this year. So hopefully baby steps with him. We're using a 6-man rotation right now, which means one less guy in the bullpen, but that's going to have to end soon because we've got some off days next week and the week after. So we'll see what happens there. Excellent from Gausman and Bassett. They have really stepped up. Kikuchi's been a pleasant surprise. When he's on, he's unhittable. Yeah,
he's
like
been
that.
great.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, he might be the guy that has to go to the bullpen, but we'll see. I mean, a lot can happen through this stretch here. And, well, as we saw last night, Ryu getting hurt, so maybe they hold him back and we're back to five men again. So we'll see. We need more consistency from Alek Manoah. If that can happen, they should be able to roll here. But once again, as you said, sometimes we pitch great and we don't hit. That's with this lineup, that's kind of head scratching. So hopefully we can get everything on the same page again, because it's rarely been on the same page all season long. So we'll see. Let's just get through these remaining three here in Cleveland. I mean, they're not a playoff team, but we didn't hit last night, so that game was close. And so let's not have any more of those. Let's come out swinging tonight, take it right through the rest of the road trip, and then get home, lick our wounds, and keep going.
Yeah. And the Jays are known, well, should be known as a strong offensively team, that, you know, they've got some big characters and some big bats in the lineup, and yet they have struggled generally. I mean, obviously Bo perhaps the one exception, across the season. It's really difficult to put your finger on why that would be, that you might expect one or two players to have a slightly weaker season, but to have so many consistently game after game after game after game, is it as simple as saying that's just down to the hitting coach not picking up on things, or is it never that easy?
Well, it's not that easy, actually. Just to say, okay, why is the hitting coach not finding out what's wrong here? Like, the only problem I've had with the offense this year has been runners in scoring position. I mean, they're right down at the bottom, and they're with the teams that are at the bottom. The teams like Oakland and Kansas City. I mean, with all the hitting talent on this day-to-day roster, we should be driving in loads of runs, and that, unfortunately, that's led to a handful of one run losses where one hit might have broken the game wide open. And but I mean, that's revisionist history, so that's just the way it goes. But it's been very odd that they have struggled with runners in scoring position, because they get loads of guys on, and then all of a sudden they can't get that one key hit. And so I think more than the hitting approach, it's more of a, they just haven't hit in the clutch, and that's cost them, a handful of wins. And when you're in a playoff race, those handful of wins could have made this really interesting. Now they have to just keep plodding along here, but they have to find a way to get some hits with runners in scoring position. My goodness, it's been crazy, actually. Yeah. I've never seen it like this.
Yeah, it has been mad. And people like, obviously, George Springer just gone through this huge long streak of no hits. And actually just seeing the joy on his face when he finally got it back, and the whole team celebrating. I think one of the things I've also sort of reflected on with a few people is that sense of joy in the team hasn't appeared to be there quite in the same way. Obviously, we lost some big characters in terms of Teoscar and Lourdes, who used to, muck around in the dugout and bring us a sense of fun. That seems to have sort of dipped. But although in these last few games, I mean, seeing the celebration, I think you even tweeted about it when Schneider got his home run, and just seeing the joy of the guys supporting him and just being absolutely thrilled for him. We need more of that, don't we, in the team, just to generate some, fight as we go into the last third of the season.
Yeah, well, it seems like that whole scene on the bench surrounding Schneider's first home run, I mean, there was some shots as we cut around covering that play. The one thing that stood out in my mind was Alejandro Kirk, who's the most reserved, quiet guy on the team, we cut to a shot of the bench, and he was howling. Like, he was, like, he looked frantic and crazy. And I go, wow, that really made me laugh, because Kirk's a quiet guy. And so, you know, and then he runs onto the bench after the home run, and they do that fist yep. thing that they do now. Yeah, there's been a lot more of that, more joy on the bench, because at times when we've shot the bench, it's been pretty somber. And so that's a good sign, because, you know, we're getting close to calling it the pennant race. And yeah, every little bit helps. If by having joy on the bench, it keeps the guys loose, maybe that helps with runners in scoring position. I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist, nor do I play one on TV. So yeah, I mean, yeah. They are having more fun, it seems, and that'll hopefully translate into wins instead of losses.
Yeah, and it would be so important to get some more of these wins against the division rivals.
Yep.
The record in terms of playing teams outside our division has been fantastic. We've done incredibly well.
The best in baseball.
Best in baseball, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So why have we struggled so much against the AL East? It's just one of those weird things.
It is just one of those weird things, yep. because, I mean, like, last year we pounded the Red Sox, yet yep. we lost the first seven games this year. It's just, you know, year to year, things change. Can you put a finger on why? Probably not. It'd be all just, you know, random speculation. So, yeah, it's been odd that we've had trouble playing the teams that we normally play the most. You know, and whether it was bad luck or the pitcher's pitching but the hitter's not hitting, or vice versa, it all seemed to happen within the framework of those AL East games. So hopefully with the sweep in Boston, that'll right that ship, and we can start getting wins against teams that we have to beat, because we're either A, tracking them down, or trying to hold them off. So we'll see what happens. The East this year has been an absolute mystery, though.
Yeah, it has. It has. I mean, I noticed on Fangraphs just before the Red Sox series that they had the Jays at just over 62% chance of making the postseason after Schneider's little outing. That rose up to 75% after the Red Sox series. Where do you feel we're going to end up as we come to a close? Where do you think the Jays are going to realistically be at the end of the regular season?
I think they'll be in that third wild card spot, which will make us play the winners of the Central, which looks like Minnesota, which is fine. I would rather play them than, you know, the Houstons and sure. what have you, because then it's a real tall task. And like, they could beat the Twins. We were just there. I thought, okay, we're a better team than them. And so then after that, then you roll your dice, right? Because then you're in against, you know, the real big boys. But it wouldn't be bad to win a playoff series just for, you know, experience. I mean, you Absolutely. Know, last year's horrible ending would have left a horrible taste in a lot of their mouths. And they want to right that ship, obviously. And, you know, if they have to do it on the road in Minnesota, so be it. I mean, that's just the way it goes right now.
And because they've had a couple of seasons, haven't they, in recent times, where big disappointment right at the end of the season in different ways, you know, when they missed out on the postseason a couple of seasons ago, and just remembering what, everybody, I think they were at the Red Sox, if I remember rightly. And just seeing that, you know, their faces at that point in time. Oh, no, it was the Red Sox, I think they put on the Jumbotron.
And, that's right.
And it was, they've had some real disappointment at the end of the season. And, we desperately want to see these guys get over the line and have a good little run. You know, we want a bit of a 2015-16 feel about the place again.
Well, here's, I looked this up yesterday. Jays have the third easiest strength of schedule from right through the end of the year. So that's good that we won't have to play like we've already been through Houston, right? I mean, that's fine. And I think we might have one more series with the Rangers, and we'll see what they're about now with Max Scherzer and all that. I can see the Jays being the third wild card, and that's okay because, you know, as they say, you have to be in it to win it. So if they're in, then all bets are off, and we'll take it from there. But we're going to need, like, Bo Bichette back playing at 100% because, you know, he's the key of the offense. I mean, he's the AL's top hitter right now. And I thought, wouldn't this be nice if 30 years after John Olerud won the only batting race for the Jays, that we had another one, you know, 30 years later. So that'd be cool. But got to get him back. And we have to get him right. Like, I hope he doesn't have to wear a brace or anything like that. We don't know. I'm sure we'll get more information on that when we come home at the end of the week.
Yeah, brilliant. Last question. How much are you looking forward to August 12th for the Jose Bautista celebrations?
Hey, look, I've doing this job for as long as I've had, I've seen each and every one of the level of excellence ceremonies. So it'll be great. And Jose is beloved in right across the country, actually. You know, if you're a Jays fan, what he did, you know, home run title, first of all. I'll tell you a really good Jose story. When we were working on Cito Gaston's last game ever, Minnesota. And so I got Buck to get Cito to come in and be in a group shot, or because we always take a crew shot at the end of the year. I got a stack of them. And so Cito said, no problem. He came over to get a picture with us. And so Jose was leaning on the dugout fence there. And after we started to break up, he goes, what, you don't want a picture with me? And it was like, well, of course. So I have that at home framed, actually, because see, that was the year that Jose won the home run title. So it's great to have that shot with all of us for that one. So it's going to be a fun day. Toronto just loves him. Blue Jays fans adore him. The bat flip is as legendary as maybe right behind Joe Carter's home run to win the World Series as a iconic moment. And so it's going to be a fun day. And the Cubs are in. Unfortunately, Marcus Stroman's on the IL, but I would think that he would come to be here because he has a relationship with Jose from when they played. And it'll be interesting. It'll be a lot of emotion during the ceremony because, you know, a lot of memories come flooding back for a lot of fans and people like me who's still a fan. I mean, that's first and foremost, you know. It's going to be a fun day. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to have him up into the booth for a little chat. But
that'd be amazing.
It's you know, level of excellence days are what they are. You know, this is one of the most one of the greatest players to ever play here, and and great slugger. I mean, 54 home runs in 1 year. I couldn't believe it. And it just didn't stop the whole season. So that was loads of fun. And Saturday's going to be equally loads of fun.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, watching from afar, obviously, it's not quite the same as being there with you guys actually in the ballpark. But certainly our experience of seeing Jose, you know, bat flip moment, a lot of Jays fans here, middle of the night experiences. That was my overriding memory of him as a player. I did get to see him a few times actually when I came across Toronto, so I have actually seen him play, but not in those not in those iconic moments. But we will all be celebrating with you, looking forward to Saturday. Scott, I really appreciate your time again. Thank you so much. I know it's it's an early morning for you as you get ready for another game today, but thanks for coming on and giving us your amazing wisdom. We will definitely talk again soon.
That's great. Hey, anytime you want to talk, you know where to find me.
Yeah, I appreciate that. All right, take care. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
The Red, White, and Blue Jays podcast is a production of Blue Jays Fans UK. If you've got a Blue Jay story to share, let us know. Email us at bluejaysfansuk@gmail.com. And follow along on Twitter and Instagram at bluejaysfansuk. I'm your announcer, Jim Langton. Thanks for listening.